Hello folks, and welcome to the British Hour Tornado Alley style. We're storm chasing this month, so join us on an epic journey through Tornado Alley, generally regarded as the area between the Rocky Mountains and Appalachian Mountains, where tornadoes are most frequent. Although to be honest, no part of the US is actually tornado free, and Washington DC probably has more hot air than anywhere else. This part of the US sees less tornadoes than Texas does, but Texas covers a bigger expanse of land. Kansas and Oklahoma are second behind Texas, but they have more tornadoes per unit of land area. Florida also has a lot of tornadoes, but nowhere near as strong as those here. Tornadoes are caused when cold, dry air from America's Hat, Canada, and the Rockies meet the warm, moist air from America's Arse, Mexico, and hot, dry air from the Sonoran Desert. And like Heart to Heart, when they met, it was moider.
You sheltered me from harm, kept me warm, kept me warm. You gave my life to me, set me free, set me free. The finest years I ever knew, I had with you.
So I've got a little quiz for you. I'm thinking of something and you have to guess what it is. It's quite large, it's quite nondescript, it's full of wind, it's quite dirty. No, it's not SoCal, Mike. Give up. Well, it's Nebraska, which ironically is where SoCal Mike's from. So let's have a look at the state that gave us Mike Kennedy. Nebraska has been home to several indigenous tribes, including the Sioux and one called the Omaha, which was the name of the old territorial capital. In the 1860s, they stole the land, politely asked the indigenous people to live on reservations and give up the land for settlement under the Homestead Act, where European settlers were given free land by the federal government. Nebraska became the 37th state in the Union on the 1st of March 1867, almost 2 years after the American Civil War, and the capital moved from Omaha to Lancaster, which was later renamed to Lincoln after Honest Abe. Nebraska became a huge agricultural center, as the good weather and the prairie land were ideal for cattle grazing and building little houses on. But SoCal felt the yearning for the big city because a whopping 89% of Nebraska cities have fewer than 3,000 people in them. That means it's not really a city, you know. But don't tell them that. Where I live, there are 60,000 people and it's only a town. It's no wonder SoCal felt the sea was calling him, because Nebraska is landlocked, and not only does it not border the ocean, but nor do any of its neighbours. And furthermore, nor do any of their neighbours. Mike does go back to Nebraska every year though, on the second weekend in August, for Kool-Aid Day. No doubt taking the Transcontinental Railroad that runs through the state. Now, being a big Cornhuskers fan, SoCal is no stranger to the Memorial Stadium in Lincoln, which when full becomes more highly populated than Nebraska's third largest city. Not much of a benchmark. I think my car on a road trip has more people in it than most Nebraska cities. Or the phone box across the road from my house.
Eastern world, it is exploding. Violence flaring, bullets loading. You're old enough to kill, but not for voting. You don't believe in war, but what's that gun you're toting? And even the Jordan River has bodies floating. But you tell me over and over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction. No, no, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction.
And here we are in Kansas, named after the Kansas River which flows through it, which in turn is named after the Kansas Native American tribe who originally inhabited the area. You know, before it was stolen from them as they were horribly murdered. In the 1850s, Kansas was contested by free staters from New England and pro-slavery settlers from Missouri to see if Kansas would become a free state or a slave state. And for a while it was known as the Bleeding Kansas, until in 1861, Kansas entered the Union as a free state. After the Civil War, many veterans set up homesteads in Kansas. The Chisholm Trail was opened and the Wild West era truly began, with wild goings on in Dodge City, where Wyatt Earp worked, and Wild Bill Hickok became deputy marshal at Fort Riley and a marshal at Hays and Abilene. In response to the wild behaviour of the cowboys, Kansas became the first US state to ban alcoholic drinks in 1881. Miserable bastards. Kansas is one of the slowest growing states in the nation, and huge numbers of people are migrating from the country to the cities, leaving behind them over 6,000 ghost towns. Tough times for the Wichita lineman, it would seem, although Wichita is still the home of Koch Industries.
Carry on, my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
Not in Kansas anymore. Oh, Toto, I don't think we're in Kansas anymore.
Toto, I don't think we're in Kansas anymore.
Toto, I don't think we're in Kansas anymore.
Wake up, Toto, you're not in Kansas anymore.
And indeed we're not. We're in Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping down the plain, apparently. In particular, I'm in Kansas City. It's taken me 24 hours to get here, and I've only come from Tulsa. Oklahoma is in the south central region of the US, and its name derives from the Choctaw words Okla and Hummer, meaning red people, and it was the 46th state to enter the Union. Unlike its neighbor Kansas, Oklahoma is one of the fastest growing economies in the nation. Because of its location, the temperature in Oklahoma City can change in a very short time. For example, on November 11th, 1911, the temperature in the afternoon reached 83 degrees Fahrenheit, a record high for that date. Then a change of weather occurred during the night and brought the temperature down to 17 degrees Fahrenheit, a record low for that date. These opposing temperatures mean that an average of 54 tornadoes strike the state every year, one of the highest rates in the world. So it's surprising that the 17,000 Cherokees who were evicted from the land kicked up such a fuss, really. Speaking of land, Oklahoma and its agricultural land forms the basis of one of my favourite books, Of Mice and Men, written by John Steinbeck. There's an era in time known as the Dust Bowl, or the Dirty Thirties, which is when the land of Oklahoma was so overfarmed and undernourished that the entire top layer of soil was ruined and became so dried up that it would simply blow away. These dust storms would reach as far eastwards as New York and made vast swathes of Oklahoma inhospitable. And the book tells the story of a couple of farmhands, Okies, who were forced to look elsewhere for work, and rabbits. The next 20 years saw the state's only decline in population, and it took until the 1960s and the development of over 200 lakes and reservoirs to bring the soil back to a workable state. Now Oklahoma is fifth in cattle production and fifth in production of wheat, and around 5.5% of all American beef comes from Oklahoma, which could help explain why Okies are the fifth most obese in the US, with 30.3% of Okies at or near obesity. Just saying.